We'll start back again from Rabbi Yossi. Kechos al aner. Lamed aleph on the beis. Remember what the Mishnah said. Mishnah said that if you extinguish a candle because you're afraid of goyim or listim or ruach ra, so you're pater. And we said that pater over here means mutter because it's pituach nefesh. But if you put it out because you want to save the oil, or you want to save the lamp, it's getting ruined, or you want to save the wick, so then you're chayiv. And that goes like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds malacha shein tzrich legufa is chayiv. Malacha shein tzrich legufa is you do the malacha, but for not the purpose it was done in the Mishkan, or not for the intrinsic purpose of the malacha itself, but for a side reason. So even though here you're doing it for a side reason, you're not extinguishing for the sake of extinguishing. You're extinguishing for a ulterior side reason. Still, you're chayiv. Rabbi Yossi says you're pater in all of them, except if you put it out for the sake of the wick, there you're chayiv because you make charcoal. Okay, now the Gemara is discussing what that means. How does Rabbi Yossi hold? Rabbi Yossi commands svarale. Ik Rabbi Yehuda svarale. If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha shein tzricha legufa is chayiv, then even if you do it for any ulterior motive, not just for the sake of the wick and the charcoal, but if you do it to save the oil, you do it to save the lamp, you should also be chayiv. Afilu b'hanech nomi l'chayiv. Even in the other ones, you should be chayiv. The ikar of Shimon, svarelei, and if he holds like Reb Shimon, the malacha shein tzricha legufa is pater, psila nomi l'pater. Then putting it out to save the wick is also malacha shein tzricha legufa. I'm not doing it because I want intrinsically the malacha of kibui. I don't want to extinguish this thing. I just want to save the wick. So I would be much happier if there was never a fire here altogether. Right? If there wouldn't be a fire, if the fire would disappear by itself, I'd also be happy. I don't have to extinguish anything. So therefore, you should be potter even if you do it for the sake of the wick. So how does he hold? If he holds malacha shein tzricha legufa is chayiv, should be chayiv on all of them. If malacha shein tzricha legufa is potter, should be potter on all of them. Why does he distinguish between putting it out to save the wick and putting it out to save the oil in the lamp? Where it says Omar Ula, La'olam Krib Yehuda Svarali. Really, he holds like Krib Yehuda. Really, you should be chayiv in all of them if it would just be a issue of malacha shein tzricha legufa. If malacha shein tzricha legufa is chayiv, then really you should be chayiv in all of them. There's a separate reason, a secondary reason, why you're potter in the other ones and not in the psila. Ukesavar Rabbi Yossi, Soser amanas livdos bim komo havisoser, amanas livno shalo bim komo lo havisoser. Right? You're only chayiv on soser, and we're not going to go over the Rashi's again, but Rashi says that soser is basically a destructive action. Right? So too kibui. Right, they're destructive. Korea, they're all malachas that are in their essence are destructive. Tearing, ripping apart something is destructive. Tearing down a building is destructive. Putting out a fire is destructive. You're destroying something. Right, so you're only chayiv if you do it with the intention of doing it for a constructive reason. You want to tear down so you can build something else. You want to extinguish so you can relight it. You want to tear so you can sew it up again. So it has to be almanas for tikkun, and the tikkun has to be in the same place that you did the kilkul. Otherwise, the kilkul is a kilkul and the tikkun is a tikkun. Two separate things. They have to be considered one action. The action of destruction is the action of construction. By destroying and building in the same place, it's all one action. And therefore, it's not considered destructive. So, enochinami, malacha shein tzrich legufa is chayiv. But makalkal is pater. And it's considered makalkal unless you do the tikkun in the same place where you did the kilkul. Okay. So, omar li rabba, michti. Kol malacha shalfin lumi mishkan. We learn all the malachas of the mishkan. V'hasim soser almanas livno shalob b'mkomohu. L'char in the mishkan, they tore down the mishkan not to build it in the same place, to build it somewhere else. So if we're learning from the Mishkan, how can there be such a t'nai that you need sosra manas livnos b'mkomo, meaning any of the destructive malachas of Shabbos, like extinguishing, destroying, demolishing, and tearing, right? How could you need that it has to be done in the same place, when in the Mishkan it wasn't done in the same place? So that can't be a t'nai. The Mishkan was different. Because the Mishkan, they tore down and built the Mishkan al pi Hashem. They didn't know specifically where they're going to rebuild it or where they're... So when they tore it down because the Rabbanu Shlom said to tear it down now. And he said, whenever I'll tell you to put it back, that's where they put it back. So since it was al pi Hashem, it always considered the same Maisa. But in a normal case, if you intend to tear something down here and don't intend to rebuild it in this place, and then you intend to rebuild it somewhere else, that is what's called not one action. But here, since it all was Alpi Hashem, they put themselves in the hands of the Rabbanu. You decide what I should do with it. So the tearing down and the building up again were all one Maisa, no matter where it was done. That's the Pashut Pshat of Alpi Hashem Yachanu, Alpi Hashem Yisol. What? Right, there wasn't, the place was insignificant. The Maisa was one Maisa. It was all built on the same Al Pi Hashem. Okay. So the main thing is that the demolishing and the building, the extinguishing and the lighting should all be considered the same action. So if it's all based on Al Pi Hashem, it's all one action. If it's not, it's you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing it in two different places, then it's not one action. Okay. So that's how, Ula explains Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi holds Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is Chayev, and the reason you're potter on the lamp and on the oil, right, if you put it out for the sake of the lamp and the oil, is because it's not Almanas Livnos Bimkomo. Meaning that the way Rashi learns is that it's possible that you either will never light this again or you use the oil for something else. So when you put it out, it's not necessarily a positive thing that you're going to relight it to with this oil again. You may never relight it. You may use the oil for something else. You may use the lamp for something else. Right? So therefore, the action of extinguishing has no connection to what later on you're going to relight it or whatever. Mashain came with the wick. When you put out the wick, and you relight that same wick, the kibui and the tikkun are in the same thing. But the fire is not in the oil. The fire is not in the lamp. So if you relight it later, you're not relighting it in this lamp or this oil. It's only incidental that it happens to be the same oil or the same lamp. But the wick, that's where the kibui was, and that's where the relighting is. That's called soser ubo nebimkomo. Okay, that's how Rashi learns. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan says a different pshat in Rabbi Yossi. La'olam k'Rab Shimon Sfirulei. Rabbi Yossi holds a K'Rab Shimon. The Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is Potter. And therefore it really makes no difference if you extinguish it to save the oil, to save the lamp, or to save the wick, you'd always be Potter. Because Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa. I'm not extinguishing for the sake of extinguishing. I'm extinguishing for an ulterior side motive. Okay? Ayu maishna psila. So then why taka, if you extinguish for the sake of the wick, are you chayiv? Kidom rav ha-menuna. The yisemi rav ha-adabar ava. Hacha b'psila shetzorich lahavava askinon. It's talking in one, a special case where you have a wick that needs to be singed so it'll be able to burn better. Okay? Dibahi afilu rav shimin mode. The komisakin mona. There, even rav shimin is mode. That's not an ulterior motive. I'm extinguishing this wick to make it singe, so it'll be a good wick. I'm extinguishing for the sake of making a wick. Here you don't say Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa, because it's exactly like it was in the Mishkan, according to Tosfos, and according to Rashi, it's for its own intrinsic purpose. In other words, Rashi, the measuring stick is always, could you have gotten the same result if there never was a Malacha to do? Right? In other words, if I could dig a hole, if I could get sand without digging a hole, I don't need a hole. I would be just as happy if I could get the sand, then there'd be no hole. Okay? So, then, that's Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa. But if you need that hole, for some reason, right, then that's not Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa. Same thing over here. I wouldn't have been happy if there had been no flame no fire to put out. I want there to be a fire that I can put out, because that's how you singe a wick and make it burnable. If there would have never been a fire in this wick, then I couldn't have made this into a wick. How do you make a wick? You burn it and put it out, so it becomes like charcoal, and now it burns better. Now you have a wick that's burning like a piece of charcoal. Because if you burn it where it's not charcoal, it burns burns out right away. So I want there to be a fire, which I can extinguish quickly, And that way I made the wick. That's how you make a wick. That's melacha shetzrich legufa. I'm extinguishing for the sake of the wick, not to save the wick, to make a wick. That's called melacha shetzrich legufa. The same thing, and that's, according to Tosfos, the same way they did it in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they burnt wood, put it out before it burnt, so they made charcoal, and then they had charcoal to burn. That's how you make charcoal, right? You burn it up to a point, and then you put it out, and then you have coals, right? Which is better than wood, because it lasts longer. So it's not that I would have been happy if there was no fire. I want the fire, and I want to extinguish it, so I'll be able to make charcoal. I want the fire, I want to extinguish it, so I'll be able to make a wick. That's called melacha tzricha legufa. Omar Rava, dekanami, right? You can infer this from the mission itself. Diktani shu osa pechem. Velotani v'nesha nasis pechem. It says because he's making charcoal, not because it's automatically made into charcoal. Because you want that action. That's melacha tzricha legufa. See Rashi on this. Kerub Shimon, depater le mishum de'in tzricha legufa. Really, Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon, that all of them really should be potter, because you're not doing it for the intrinsic purpose that was done in the Mishkan. The reason you're chayav by the wick is talking about a special case where you need to singe this wick to make it into a wick. It wasn't singed before Shabbos. You want the wick to be singed, so it'll be a better wick the next time you light it. Shu osa pechem. So Rashi says, shu miskavin mamish lasosa kamin pechem achshav. You have kavana bedavka, that you want to make it into like a charcoal. That's how you make a wick. The wick becomes like a piece of coal. Alma b'kibui hatzorech legufo mayri. Here it's talking of a kibui that is tzorech legufo, because you want that wick to be singed. Right? It's not because it's becoming charcoal and therefore it's a positive thing comes from it and it's in the same place that you made the stira. That's not. That wouldn't be chayiv, because that would still be melacha shein tzricha legufa. By the shemen and ne'er, it's not shayich, this whole idea. Because the shemen and the ne'er is not, not in the same place. Not that pshat. Not like we said before, that he holds like Rab Yehuda. He holds like Rab Shimon. And all of them should be potter. The only reason this is chayich, because this is melacha tzricha legufa. Okay. In any case, Rabbi Kiveger asks a question here. The Rashi says you have to be mechaven, mamish, to make the pechem. L'chor is a psikresha. Every time you light and extinguish a wick, you're making pechem. You're what's it called? You're basically singeing the wick. So why do you have to have bedafka kavana? Reb Shimon holds psikresha is also chayim. And it's a melacha tzricha legufa. So what's the problem? So the Imre Bina says that it's not always a psikresha. Because if you leave the wick burn too long, then it doesn't become a better wick. It has to be just singed. It has to be controlled burning and controlled extinguishing to make it just the right thing where you haven't yet taken out everything out of the wick and you still have burnable power there, but now it's singed. Now it's better. So therefore, you have to have kavana dafka, because if you put it out stam, it doesn't always create a better wick. It depends how long you let it burn. So you have to have kavana to make sure that you put it out in a time where it's going to be able to be pecha. That's why Rashi said you have to have the kavana. Just a few things here, and then we'll go on to the next Mishnah. Going back, putting out a candle for a chole. Okay, the Rambam holds that the only time that you're allowed to do a malacha, mishum pikuach nefesh, is if there's no other way of doing it. For instance, the Mishnah Berurah holds that if there is another way, and you do it the way that's malacha, and you could have done it differently, then you're chayiv. Then there's no heter of pikuach nefesh. Okay, but he holds that the Davi Kibui, the Rambam only said that because the Rambam paskins Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is Chayiv, like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch paskin Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is Potter, like Rabbi Shimon. Now, Chokos, we've shown them how we paskin. So, therefore, according to the Rambam, if you put out a candle, okay, for any purpose, you're Chayiv, because it's Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're Chayiv. So therefore, the Rambam said that if you put out the candle, and you could have done something else, you could have taken the candle and moved it. You could have pulled the cholah to somewhere else, right? You could have covered over the candle without putting it out. There was some other way of doing it without doing the malacha. Then you're not allowed to put it out because what's it called? Instead of doing a malacha d'oraisa, find another way of doing it beheter. But the Mishnah Brura says, if the Rambam would have held that malacha shein tzrich legufa anyway is part, it's only nisa d'rabbanan, then if it's only nisa d'rabbanan and it's pikuach nefesh, even if you could do it a different way, is okay. But he says that what's it called, that it could be that malacha shein tzrich legufa, since it's what's it called, something that really is min ha-Torah, it's just the kavana makes it d'rabbanan, that's more chomer. In fact, the Ran says that malacha shein tzrich legufa, even if you hold it's potter, but it's a much more chomer d'rabbanan than other. They treat it as if it's a d'oraisa. But something that's purely only d'rabbanan, there, even if you have another way of doing it, but it's pikuach nefesh, you don't have to worry about doing it a different way. The Ramban says that if you can do it with a shinui, or do it with a goy, and the Ramah passes like that also, then you should have to do it like that. Right? It's only where, and it won't affect the pikuach nefesh. If it'll affect the pikuach nefesh, then you don't do it with goyim, and you don't do it al yidei shinui. But if there's no difference, you could do the same thing al yidei shinui, and it won't make a difference. You have to make a phone call. You could easily take the hook off the receiver off the thing with your elbow. Doesn't delay it at all. Then you have to do it with a shinui instead of doing it regular. Okay. The Magid Mishnah says that's only by a yoledes. A yoledes is different than other pikuach nefesh. A yoledes is derech teva. Right, it's a normal situation for a woman to give birth and to be in danger then. That kind of pikuach nefesh, they were makbid, that if you can do it with a shinui, do it al yidei goy, then you have to do it like that. But all other pikuach nefesh, right, which is not the normal kind of case, it's all, what's it called, emergency situations, there you don't have to worry about goyim or shinuyim. If it's warranted, there's no other way of avoiding it. You can't avoid it, then do it normal. What's it called? And that's how the Rambam holds. The Rambam holds, if you could do it another way, you have to do it another way. But if there's no other way to do it, you're going to have to do the malacha, then do the malacha the normal way. Because if we start doing shinuyim and start with goyim, then the next time people are going to say, well, they have to do a shinuy, you have to do a goy, and then it's going to, you know, delay, and the guy's going to die by the time you get the goy, or you start doing your shinuyim. Okay. That's what the Taz holds, bichlal. That you should never do it with a shinuy, never with a goy. If you're allowed to do it, do it the normal way, in order not to delay and not to let people think for the future. The Or Zeruah says, with a shinui, yes. If you can do it with a shinui without delaying it, do it. But don't do it with a goy, because then people are going to make a mistake to think you're not allowed to do a bechlau. You have to look for goyim, and people will die by the time you find your goy. You know, Yeshua's Yaakov holds even more than that. He holds you don't have to look for an alternate way. Even if there's an alternate way to do it, you could easily take the chola out of the room and not put out the candle, you're allowed to put out the candle. And the machlokas is whether pikuach nefesh is hutra or dechuya. Right? Dechuya means that the Torah said that you're allowed to do malacha for pikuach nefesh, but it's only a dechuy. Really, Shabbos still applies, and the malachas apply, but b'di'evid, right, this is docha this. That's only if you have to do it. Or no, when it comes to pikuach nefesh, it's not Shabbos anymore. It's like, it's chol. If it's like it's chol, then even if you could do another way, lemaisa, right now you're doing this malacha for pikuach nefesh, it's mutter. Is it mutter, or is it only, the pikuach nefesh supersedes Shabbos, but the Shabbos is still there, or no, Shabbos doesn't exist. When it comes to pikuach nefesh, Shabbos doesn't exist. We have to find a similar machlokas by tuma. Tuma hutra b'tzibur, dechuya b'tzibur, right? If you have a situation of tzibur, is tuma, like it's not tamei anymore. Or no, it's tamei, and you're allowed to be docha the tumah, but only if you have to. Okay. And the Mishnah Brura point, the Ra'o and the Ritva point out that it's mutter, even if there's a suffix, even suffix pikuach nefesh. And a suffix means, even if the suffix, well, this will help. Putting out the candle may not even help the cholah, but it may. You're allowed to put it out. Right? It's also, even if the suffix, whether the cholah is really a cholah sheish bo sakana. We're not sure if he's really, but he could be. So even if there's a suffix in the chola and a suffix in the thing you're doing, whether it's going to help, it's still mutter. Okay. Okay. Rashi holds that this tikkun that you need, stira avanas livnos, and whatever, has to be what's it called? A regular tikkun, okay? It doesn't have to be anything better, right? In other words, you tear something down, you want to build something else. The thing you want to build doesn't have to be better than the thing you tore down. It just has to be that it's considered constructive. It's not only destructive. Tosfos holds that it has to be that you tear the thing down, well, not by tearing down, but it has to be that what you're doing is better than what you had before. Otherwise, it's not constructive, because you could have left the first binyan. If the kibui is, what's it called, not better, in other words, if I put out the wick, it has to be that now it's better than it was before. And it is, because the original wick wasn't singed. Now I lit the fire, put out the fire to make a singed wick, I come out with something better than I had before. Right? If I would have just left it the way it was before, it wouldn't be as good as it is now. So Tosfos asks Lechora, that how by binyan could that ever be? How could you ever have a thing that you demolish, which is better after you demolished it than if it wouldn't have been there altogether? Right? If there wouldn't have been any binyan, what?
The Mishnah, you put the parts of the exact same thing back together.
Yeah, okay, well, so that's Tosfos' answer. You're one step ahead of me. He asks Lechora, if you need that, in order for it to be considered positive, constructive, it has to be better than if it wouldn't have been there altogether. In other words, I have a building, I demolish the building, and I build something else up over there. Okay? So it has to be, lechora, or by the case of extinguishing, it had to be that it's better now with the demolishing and the building than it would have been if had there not been any building and I stam built something new. Okay? So with the extinguishing, you can have that. Right? If I never had to extinguish this wick, if there hadn't been a fire and I didn't extinguish it, the wick wouldn't be as good as it was with the fire and extinguishing, because now it's a singed wick. But how could building be, if I didn't have anything, I had a blank area of land, nothing built on it. Now I can start from scratch and build something. Why would it ever be better if I had something else built there and I demolished it and now I'm building something new? Why should that new building, right, be better because there was once something on there that I had demolished, right, then if there was never anything there and I just started building from scratch on empty land. Tosfos says, Ein Chanami, Stira doesn't have to be L'shem Binyan better. Because in the Mishkan it wasn't better. It was the same thing. Right? It wasn't. So for Stira, we learn from the Mishkan, it doesn't have to be any better. Right? But for any of the other Malachas that are destructive, it has to be Taka better. There's a Ran, the Rosh. The Rosh holds that, what's it called, that even by binyan it has to be better. I don't know what the tzir would be, but he holds that if you demolish and build, it has to be that the second building, right, is better because you demolished than it would have been had you not had to demolish altogether. How that works, I don't know, but he holds that that's a field by there to what?
By definition, that's like because you want that building more than you want the first building.
No, but that's not the idea. The idea is that, no, that better means that if you wouldn't have demolished anything, there was nothing there to demolish, the building you're building now wouldn't have been as good as it is now because it's built on a place that you demolished something. That's what it means. So that's hard to find the tzir, but that's what he says. Okay, let's go on.
Maybe that's about to fall down.
What?
A wall that's about to fall
no,
down.
No, but that's not, what do you mean a wall that's about to fall down?
It's dangerous. So you tear it down in order to rebuild it?
No, but the next building has to be better because you tore down the first wall.
But the
second building is not better now because you had to tear it down. What if the wall was never there? Wouldn't have been a sakana either. And you built the new wall without there ever being a wall there. This wall would still be the same thing. So it doesn't make it has to be better because you demolished the first one. Right? In other words, if it would have been any wall and you built the second wall wouldn't have been as good as because you tore down a first wall and built a second wall. The second wall is better because you tore down a first wall. That's what you have to find a tzir. That's not your tzir.
What would you benefit from the demolition without constructing afterwards? You would improve your view in the building next door, or you want to clear it for something?
Yeah, so there, since it's not, that's not called binyan and stira in the same thing. Right? It's not, there the stira is, that's a way to get to Klal Gadol, because it's a shaila. Whether you need almanas, that's part of the malacha, or anything that's positive would be okay. Your case is a situation. You're not going to build anything else, but this itself is positive, right? You want a view or whatever. When we get there, we'll learn. Okay, Mishnah. Al shalosh aveiros noshim mesos b'shas leidosim. On three Averas, women die in childbirth. That doesn't mean every woman dies in childbirth, dies because of these three Averas, but it's a time of sakana when a woman is giving birth, that because of these three Averas, could be that she will be punished and die because of them. She'enam zehiros benida, because they're not careful in nida, the chala, in taking chala, ubahadlaka saner. The Kiveger asks, Bechara, why doesn't it just say ubaner? It doesn't say bahafrashas chala, right, b'shmiras nida. Why does it just say nida chala ner? Why hadlaka saner? So he says, come to tell me that there's two parts of lighting candles. One is preparing it, and the other was the actual lighting. The preparing is really the man's job. So a woman is only going to be held responsible for hadlaka saner. She's not going to be careful. She's not zohir in tikkun haner. Only hadlaka saner. Rashi. B'shasli dosen. B'gmar mefarish. Maishno shasli dosen. Gemara is going to explain why, if she is fit to be punished for these three, not being careful about these three things, what does that have to do when she's giving birth? If she should be punished any time, why dafka when she's giving birth? Gemara says, nida mai taima. What's the reason why nida could result in a death sentence? Om Rabbi Yitzchak, he kilkula b'chedri bitna, l'fichach tilka b'chedri bitna. She made a kilkul, she was not careful. Right, and it was over an Avera that had to do with her insides, right, Nida. So therefore she gets, punished with her insides. Tenach Nida, that's very good for Nida. Why, when she's giving birth, there's an Inyan that she could be in danger because of not taking Nida. But what does Chala and Hadlaka Saner have to do with giving birth? Ma'ika l'meimer, k'dedorish ahugli lo aleder of Chizda. Like the person from the Galil said, in front of Rav Chisda, Amra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Reviz Dam Nasati Bochem, Al Iske Dam Hizarti Eschem. I gave you the minimal amount of dam that a person can survive with as a Reviz. I put that Reviz of dam in your system, and I expect you to I gave you halachas that have to do with dam, right? And therefore, I expect you to keep my halachas about dam, and then I will preserve your dam. If not, then your dam is in danger. Okay? I gave you the halachas of nida, and I gave you dam. Take care of nida, I'll take care of your dam. If not, your dam is in danger. Reishis korasi eschem, I called you reishis, aliske reishis izarti eschem, and I also warned you about taking challah, which is called reishis. Right? Neshama shenosati bochem kriyoner. The neshama I gave you is called a ner. Al iske ner hizarti eschem. And I commanded you about lighting candles on Shabbos. Imatem kaimim osam mutav. Din lav harini not neshmaschem. If you watch the mitzvahs that I commanded you to do with a ner, then I'll protect your ner. If not, your ner is in danger. Okay, Rashi. B'shas Gealchi Garcina, Benida Maitaima, Bechedri Bitna, Makor Dama. Right? They're womb. Kilkala Marda. She rebelled with her womb, right? And therefore she's going to be in danger with something that's doing with her womb, birth. Reviyastam, Chayodim Kluyimba. The minimal amount of blood for a person to live is a Reviyas. Rashis Karasiastam, Rashis Tvuasam. Iske Rashis, Rashis Arisosechem. Now, you're called Rashis, and I commanded you about Rashis, which is Chala. Hareni notel nishmastem, v'te'ovid revius dimchem, the revius of your dam is going to be lost. V'yechabenerchem, and your candle will be extinguished. V'yevatel shem reishischem, and your Rashis will be bottled. The noshim nitztavu al-kach, so why dafka women? Because women have a special chiyuv in these mitzvahs. K'damrinim v'breishis rabba, hi ibda chaloso shel olam, shal yoda nitrad odom harishon, Shinitram Kechala, right? She destroyed the Chala of the world. Adam Arishim is considered the Chala of the world. He is the choice, part that makes everything else Miyuchad Lashem. So she destroyed that Chala. She was given the mitzvah of Chala. Since she was given the major to take care of the mitzvah of Chala in the home, so now if she's the one who's negligent in Chala, it's on her responsibility. So she now, I told you to take care of Rashis. I'm going to take away your rashis if you don't take care of it. The kav sanera shalolam, she extinguished the light of the world by causing Adam Arishon to be chote, right? V'shaf chadamo, and she spilled his blood. So therefore, she was given these three mitzvahs that she's responsible. Once she's responsible, now because these things are very serious, she's going to suffer for it. If she wasn't responsible for them, then she wouldn't be singled out to be held guilty. But since she's the one who's responsible because of what happened with other Marishon, now every woman who has that responsibility is going to be held guilty if she doesn't take care of that responsibility. Another reason, even without this esoteric reason, a simple reason. Right? These are things that have to do with the home. She's there, she made the bread. She's responsible to take off the challah. Right? The husband's not around. He didn't make the bread, usually. Right? It's the wife that's involved in these things. Also, she's the one who can take care of Nida, right? The husband, it's her responsibility. And the same thing with Halakha Saner. She's the one who's involved with taking care of the household things. Lighting candles for Shabbos, a household need. The guy may not be around. He may be saying Shira Shirim and Shul, whatever. So the wife is the one who's responsible for these things, either because she's responsible religiously for them, or she's responsible physically for them. But either way, it's her responsibility. It's her responsibility. She's the one who's going to be guilty, and the results are going to come to her.
Why should the baby?
First of all, it doesn't say the baby dies. She'll die in childbirth. The baby may survive. Right? So it doesn't necessarily, and if the baby dies, there must be a reason for that too. But it's not, one is not totally in the other. The woman will die in childbirth, the baby could survive. So it's not totally separate.
There might even be a worse punishment.
To who?
The baby.
Maybe, depends who the mother is. Okay. Umayshna b'shas leidasim. Okay, so now we know that a woman is responsible for these things, and therefore she is going to be held guilty, and it's serious things, and it could even result in death. But why? So that's fine. So then strike her down with a lightning bolt, you know, when she's walking in the street. What does that have to do when she's giving birth? Why dafka when she's giving birth? Omar Rava, so Rava said, Nafal Torah chadeid l'sakina. When the ox falls down, sharpen the knife. In other words, when the ox is walking normally, it's very hard to shecht him. Okay? You have to push him down, turn him over, whatever. But if the ox fell down already, and he's in a position where he's ready to be shechted, it's easier to shecht an ox when he's down than if he's walking normal. Meaning, a person's easier to be punished with b'shas sakana. When he's already in a makom sakana, when he's giving birth, which is a normal, not natural makom sakana, that's when a person is more vulnerable than he would be the other way. And we'll see this. The Gemara is going to give a few different examples. In other words, folk sayings of why makom sakana is worse, and each one reveals a different aspect of why makom sakana is a dangerous thing. Right? Why it's more, person is more vulnerable to punishment for other sins in a time when he's in a sakana. I doubt if we're going to get to explain it today, but let's go through the Gemara first, and tomorrow I'll tell you what I think each one represents. So that's the first. The first mashal is, you have a day to think about it anyway. If the ox is down, sharpen the knife. Okay? Second, Abaya Omar, Tafis Tiros Amsa Bechad Machtara Lahave. Okay? Rashi says the following. Tafis Tirbe Tiros Pesha Vahasrasa Michatra, Kilomar, Isha Omedis li Sure Leda, Al Oncha Shalchava, Umitsarfin La Onchim Harbe Loso Malkus. And basically what it means is like this. When the Amma, you have a servant, okay, and she does a lot of things that are wrong. Okay? At one time, right, in a time when we're gonna instead of punishing her little by little, we wait for that one time that we're giving her anyway punishment, and just throw it all on that time. Okay. Right. In other words, we wait, the Rabban Shom waits to accumulate quite a few things, and then in the opportune time, he takes care of it all at one time. You know, instead of punishing her for this sin, whatever, once she's in a matzav where she has yisurim anyway, pour it on. Okay. Rav Chisda Omar, Shavke L'Ravya, D'minafshe Nofil. Okay? Rashi says, Shavke L'Ravya, L'Shikr, a guy's shikr. Ein chatzorech la'pilo, you don't have to throw down the shikr. Shehu yipo me'elav, he's going to fall down anyway. If a guy's walking straight and he's sober, and you have to push him down, right, it's going to be difficult to push him down. But if the guy's shikar, he's going to fall anyway. Tachla isho, medis leleid, mishinis abra. From the time she got pregnant, and she's ready to get, and she's then going to give birth. V'hit tzricha levakish l'kodesh baruch hu liftoach rachma. And the Rabbanu Shlom, she has to ask him that she should survive her birth. Right? In other words, from the time she got pregnant, she was still always in a makom sakana. So she needs something to help her through the sakana. Sakana's already there. She needs something now to help her through the sakana. The hu nimna, the himesa me'eleha. So now the Rabbanu Shlom doesn't have to do anything to her, he just has to not do something. Right? Not save her. She's already b'makom sakana. So the same thing with the shikar. I don't have to throw him down, I just have to not help him. As long as I don't put my hand to help him, he's going to fall down anyway. Same thing over here. To do something actively, to give this woman a misa, maybe not. But she's going to die unless the Rabbanu Shlom intervenes and saves her from the danger she's in. So all the Rabbanu Shlom over here has to do is not save her. Not make her. So when you have to punish somebody, that's harder to do than when you just don't have to save them. So in a time when she's in a danger anyway, and the Rabbanu Shlom will have to go out of his way to save her from that danger, then she has his averi, she doesn't go out of her way, his way to save her. In the melee, she dies. To a certain degree, okay. Mar ukva omar raya chagra, if you have a shepherd who's lame, the izay ratan, and the goats run fast, so the lame shepherd can't catch the goats. Abav chutra mile, va'abei dori chushmana. But when the goats, right, reach the corral, right, then they have to slow up, right, then the shepherd can get them, right? He doesn't bother running after them. You have to run after the person to punish them, the Rabbanu Shlom doesn't run after them. But if they already have to, they came to the corral, in other words, she's already sick, she already has a sakana, then, b'makom sakana, then the shepherd catches up with her. Okay, Rashi. Raya chagra v'izei rehitin, kalim loruts. The goats run fast, and the poor shepherd's lame. They know yochala gion, he can't catch them while close to Malsirchonim. And the goats are doing things that are wrong, they have to be beaten. And the shepherd can't catch the goats to beat them because he's too lame. Abav chutra mile, she ba lifne gidro son, shom hu medaber imo la halkosa. But when the goats have to stop, when they come to the corral, then the shepherd catches up with them and he gives them what they deserve. Al pisha, va beidori lebeis hadir shel tzon boin chesh lecheshban. That's where the shepherd makes his cheshban with them, right? Gidro son mitargamin in chutrin da'an. Gidro son is the corrals. That's called chutrin kolomer. Ha'isha k'shiba b'riyas. When a woman's healthy, pamim shizichuyo seha tolet. Sometimes she'll have a schus, right, that will make her a healthy, running, fast goat, that the Puranias can't catch up with her, because she has some kind of schus. Vein koach b'mekatrig l'haskir avona. And the kitrug won't happen, because she has some kind of schus that'll protect her. When she gets into a sakana, and she needs miracles, now she won't be zocha to any miracles. Now, the reason to remember her aveira is to see if she's fit for a nace or not. In other words, where she doesn't need nisim, she's healthy, so nobody looks to see if she deserves, she doesn't deserve, or whatever, she's running with her zechuyos. Once we have to make a cheshbon, do you deserve or not, because you need a nace, and now we have to know if you deserve the nace, then we have to look and see what you deserve and what you don't deserve. Now these aveiras are going to be looked upon. Okay. Rapapa Omar, Rapapa says another reason. Abav chanuasa nefishe achi. Okay. Rashi says, Abav chanuasa nefishe achi umarachmi. Lepesach hachanus, shemeschalkim bamazonos. When they're giving out food in the store, okay, for free, everybody comes. Everybody's your friend. Everybody's a storekeeper's friend when he gives out things for free. The yeshamosha. Harbe achim v'harbe ohavim yesh. When there's richness, people giving out prizes, everybody's there. Harbe achim v'harbe ohavim yesh. V'chakol nasim, everybody's your friend. Right? Achi umarachmi. Then there's a lot of, everybody's your relative and your friend. Abab bizyoni, but when you're giving out bizyonos, right? Lo achi v'lo, then there's nobody who's your relative or your friend. Nobody wants to know you. Okay? Aved bizyoni, b'makom sheish hefsid ba'oni, where there's poorness and people are losing things, right? They're taking things from people. Lo achi v'lo merachmi. Kach v'shas sakana hura mazla v'chashivusa v'chadlu praklatim shala. Right? When everything's going fine, then there's a lot of malachim that will speak in the schus of a person. When the person's already in danger, right, and they're going, they're of tzaris, then the malachim are not interested in being melitz yosher, right? They go away from the person. So that's another reason why b'makom sakana, a person is more vulnerable to an onish.